Thank you for that. Now let's turn our hymnals to page 613 for our morning hymns. Page 613. Let's stand as we sing. Ring the bells of heaven. We'll sing the first, second, all three verses. 613.
I hope you guys had a great end to 2016, but the thing I like about New Year's and a new beginning is that if we choose to put Jesus more in our life in this new year, we truly will have a new beginning, amen? And that's what I'm hoping and praying that we're each going to strive to do. But what I want to do is take a few minutes. I don't really like to call these New Year's resolutions because we don't really resolve to keep very many of them, do we? I'd like to call this segment here for the next couple of minutes our New Year's commitments. I'm just wanting to go around and those of you that are willing to share, let's talk about one thing you would like to commit yourself to do in this new year to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. to having a better year this year than you had last year? All right, Peyton.
Every time I wake up in the morning, I always watch TV. And now, this time, I every time I watch TV.
Amen. Did y'all hear that? She'd like to read the Bible now instead of waking up and watching TV every morning. I think that's worth a hand clap. Amen. All right, what are you going to do? Just call on his name and ask for it, right? But what a great commitment there to read your Bible and pray. Well, somebody else want to share one? All right, Michael.
Verse 17, you did that sermon on keeping your hands on the plow. That hadn't left my mind. Every morning going to work or coming home or during the day, when I feel it. The devil getting on me, I have to keep that in the back of my mind, keep my hands on the Bible. I try my best to do that this year.
Amen. Amen. That's a great thing to commit to. Keeping your hands on the plow and not looking back. You can't plow straight road when you look back. Amen. 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 All right, Nick.
I would like to go to church for offering.
Amen. Amen. Hey, that's a great thing to commit to in the new year. Want to share, James?
Well, I got a couple things.
hold on a minute.
Hey,
let me get.
Well, I've been struggling with this for weeks now. Most of the time I try to read my Bible every day. I try to keep that up going, but sometimes I tend to put it off. Maybe I'll do this later. Maybe I'll do that later. Well, I'm getting to the point now where it seems like every few days I keep having the struggle to try to read my Bible the first thing when I wake up in the morning. And that's one of the things I'm going to do this year is to keep challenging myself to read my Bible more every day. And also to keep coming to this church, which I love being here. And I'm going to keep trying to grow in the Lord the best I can.
Amen. Amen, brother. We all need to do that, right? Amen. Somebody else? Anyone? Want to share what you want to do? Okay, I'll get you and I'll come over there to you, Sam.
I just want to try to not commit the sin of worry, especially about things I cannot change.
Amen. That's right. You know, we don't think about that a lot of times, but worrying is a sin. You know why it's a sin? It's because we don't put our faith in Jesus when we worry. And that's why it can become that sin in our life. It's not one you really think about being a sin, but it is. So thank you for sharing that. All right, Sandra.
Staying focused on God's word every day.
Amen. Staying focused on God's word and not worrying. Guys, I can't stress enough on that. You know what? It's hard not to worry, isn't it? Especially when it comes to our kids and things like that. But guys, that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. And hopefully in this new year, we can certainly do that. Amen. A closer walk with Jesus. And that's worthy of amen.
Amen. Him doing that
And, you know, I don't think that generation ever even thinks about being too proud, but other generations struggle with that, and we're just so thankful that he got that straight.
Amen. And guys, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I know I preached a series on that about living in darkness and realizing one day that, hey, you know what? I don't think I really was saved. Praise God that the Holy Spirit was working on him and moved him in his life. And I'm going to tell you that there are a lot of other people that need to make that move. There are a lot of other people. And I'm praying in 2016 right here in this church that we'll see some more people walk down this aisle and say, you know what? I don't really think I was, or I am, a born-again believer. I want to get it right with Jesus today. So that's my prayer, not just here, but in churches all around. So that's certainly something we definitely want to focus on.
Something that happened to me is today I walked in Mr. B's classroom and I saw Courtney and Lydia.
You're glad to see that, aren't you? Amen. We're glad Courtney's here today, believe you.
That my brothers are trying to get
anything you want to share?
2016.
What year are we in?
2017.
Say there. I'm sitting there in 2016 with me. All right, for 2017. How many of y'all still going to be signing that for the next month on your statements and everything? Yeah. Don't act like I'm the only one, okay? Like, I know I'm not getting any younger, but you know. Some of y'all are fixing to graduate here in another few years, so that's what we have accomplished for 2017. Amen. We hope you will, anyway. Anybody else have anything you want to share as far as the commitment that you want to make for 2017? Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. All right, guys. Hey, listen to me now. I want everybody to listen just for a second, guys. God is wanting to do some great things here. He's wanting to do some great things. He's already doing some great things. He just needs a few more obedient hearts that will just let go and let him have control. And I believe that the sky's the limit for this church. I believe we're definitely moving in the right direction. We had a lot of people that got saved and got baptized in 2016. I hope that number will double or even triple in 2017. So, we got a lot of work ahead, but if we're willing to make a commitment, Jesus is here with us, and he's going to give us the wisdom and knowledge we need in order to move forward in a positive direction. So, I'm excited about this new year. Because, first of all, it brings us one more year closer to getting to heaven. Amen? You know, that year's past, it's right there. So, and that's something else I want you to realize, too. I've talked about this, and I've heard about this. Guys, don't get discouraged about this world. Because we're in this world, we're not of this world. We are not working for worldly treasure. We are working for heavenly treasure. That one day, all of us that are born-again believers, we're going to get to experience something like we've never experienced before. We will live forever. Has that sunk in with everybody? When we take our last breath here on this earth, we begin life in eternity. And that's going to be pretty awesome if you ask me. Amen? So don't get discouraged about this world and all the things that are going on in here. I mean, hey, you just keep your head up and keep your eyes focused on Jesus and you won't go wrong in 2017. Amen? That's going to be what we need to stay focused on. Anybody else want to say anything before we move on? All right. You want to say one more thing? All right.
This weekend on Christmas, showing it to me, I finally got some boots.
All right. You got some boots. And they are nice boots, too. Let me just say that. I might swap with you one Sunday. What do you think? Amen. All right, guys, we'll move on with our service. Thank you all for being willing to share what you had on your heart there this morning. Jack didn't raise his hand today, did you, Jack? That's good.
Amen. All right, Brother Dennis is going to come up now and lead us in some sort of congregational craziness, shall we say, maybe, perhaps. So, Brother Dennis, you come on up.
Amen. You can sit right here. I'm going to go back here where I can get out of the blast zone.
Everybody going, I'm going to be real calm today, so just hold on. I had an experience this past week, and it's one I've never had before. I happened to be in the dollar store down here in Union Point, and probably there was 10 people from Bethesda in there. We could have had church preacher right there in the dollar store. But I walked up behind two of our members, Roberta, a.k.a. Harley, and Miss Nancy. And both of them turned and looked at me and they said, "You smell like cake on Sunday." Both of them said at the same time, they said, "You smell like cake on Sunday." And I went, "Huh?" And I got to thinking about it, preacher. I was making a cake the night before, and I had taken my jacket and put it in the kitchen. So that's where the cake smell came from. So I've been accused of a lot of things, smelling like a lot of things, but it hadn't been cake. But anyway, they both were dibbing me out. They said, "Now, when is our cake coming?" I said, I think that was the ultimatum right there. All right, hymn number 449. Before we start, I want you to do something for me. 449, let's stand. Guys, I don't know if y'all, I think I've mentioned it before, but aware that every song in this book, right under it, there's a verse, scripture verse, and this one, "Because He Lives" is a title, but "Because I Live, You Will Live Too," John 14:19. Every song in this book has a verse under it. And if you really like the song or something, look at that verse and go back and read the chapter that it's in. It really gives you additional information. And this one, "Because He Lives, We Can Face Tomorrow." Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
Yes,
because I know
last verse. And then one day I'll cross the river, cross my life, no more with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future.
And life is worth the living.
Because I know, repeat after me, because I know He holds my future, I can live. Amen?
Couldn't get here in time to tell y'all to remain standing, but let's stand for our offertory hymn, page 573. We'll sing the first and last verse. 573, Heaven Came Down. First and last verse.
So much for coming down and filling our soul, Lord. We come to this time in our service, Lord, to bring back a portion that you have given us, Lord. Just please take it and do what's pleasing to your eyes with it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
doxology. Take a few minutes and greet each other in God's love.
That was Patrick. Look out, man. Don't be too rough on the preacher. Thank you. family. No.
Okay. I'm preaching on.
Hey, Coach, please. Josh just said he'll preach the message. Josh just said he'll preach the message for you.
Oh, really? Okay, man. Well, hey, I'll let you preach whenever you get ready.
I'm not going to read off a sheet of paper. That's not me.
I may need y'all to help me hand these out in a minute.
I'll hand them out.
Okay, some people might need one.
I'll hand them out, Coach.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody fellowshipping. I want to call your attention to something here. If you did not get a bulletin, we got some more in the back there. Several people have mentioned this to me over the years, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing this. You'll notice in your bulletin today there's an insert with a set of skeleton notes there. If you like taking notes about sermons and stuff, this will be ideal for you. So in a few minutes when I get to the point of the sermon where this is going to kick in, I'll let you know. If you don't have a bulletin, we've got a few more back there if you need to get one. Well, we actually have some of the blank sheets up here. So I want to encourage you, I don't want this to just be another piece of paper for you. What I want this to be is, I want this to be an opportunity for you to go home, have this, and reflect on this during the next week. You can also go to the website and you can hear any of the sermons. We upload all the sermons on the website. You might, if you ever miss a Sunday and you want the notes from that, Louise is going to start organizing these in folders. You can get one, listen to the sermon, fill out your sheet, and not have missed anything. So if you need one of these, when it comes time, I'll mention to you when we're going to start using those. It'll be just a couple of minutes because I'm going to kind of give a little bit of an introductory before we actually get into that part. How many of you are glad to be in God's house today to start out this new year? Amen? Amen. Amen. Somebody want to yell?
Yay!
All right, good deal. Good deal. Guys, it really is great to see everybody out this morning. I know, you know, usually a lot of times in a Baptist church, three drops of rain will run everybody out, right? But guys, you came out. We had a great group last Sunday for Christmas Day. So I'm ready to start off a new year. How about you? You guys ready? Well, you better be because it's here. Amen. We don't have any choice, really. Our text today is going to come from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to that. We're going to read that scripture in just a minute. But guys, we made it into another new year. We're all here. We're alive at this moment, right? So we made it through 2016. Now, for some people, 2016 may have been a year that you really don't care to remember a whole lot about, and I can certainly understand that. For some of you, you might not have wanted to leave 2016 because many of you came to know the Lord in 2016. Well, let me tell you something. That's only just beginning for you. Amen. So whatever year we're in, it's just going to get better. It's going to get better if you put God first and keep Him first in your life. You know, as we march into 2017, it's my sincere hope and prayer that we as a church will focus more on becoming that complete church that God wants us to be. Now, you may say, well, preacher, what are you talking about, complete church? Well, I think we've certainly got a lot of facets of this church that are complete. But I believe when we finally get everything clicking, then this community better watch out because this church is going to be a church on fire, and this is going to be a church that will be an example to people, and people are going to want to come here because they're going to want to get some of what's going on here at Bethesda. Amen. And that's what my hope and desire and dream is for this church as we move into this new year. Guys, I want to live differently than I did in 2016. How many of you want to live differently than you did in 2016? Raise your hand, amen. I hope not everybody wants to keep the same things you did last year and bring them into this new year, because I know there were some things that we all did that we're not proud of, right? We need to leave them behind and march forward for what God set out for us. And I believe if we'll do that, that we're going to have a great year. You know what's going to mess up our new year? Not staying focused on God. That's what's going to mess it up for us if anything messes it up. There's going to be death. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be pain. But with Jesus, He will bring us comfort. He will bring us strength. And He will help us move through this new year. Amen. So it doesn't matter. These things are going to happen, guys. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what year you're in. There's going to be stuff that's going to happen that's not going to be good. Because, you know, God never told us in His Word that being a follower of Christ was going to be easy. He just simply tells us that, hey, I promise you this, if you can hang on and make it in this world, that I've got something greater and something better in store for you, amen? And that's what our hope is in. Our hope is not in the here and now. Our hope is in the hereafter, amen? That's where it's going to get good. But guess what? We got to continue to go through these years here on earth, and they're going to be challenging. They're going to be challenging. There's a lot of things I want to do different. I want to read my Bible more. I want to pray more. I want to witness more. I want to invite more people to come to church. I want to be a better role model for those with whom I come in contact every day. I want to be an example of Christ, and I want people to see Jesus in me. I don't want to give anybody any reason to look at me and say, oh, there's that preacher over there from Bethesda. He acts all godly and all, but I saw him doing this and I saw him doing that. That's not going to be me. Amen. And I hope and pray that that's something that you guys want to strive to do this year too. It truly is a new year, and it can truly be a new beginning, but it's not going to be anything other than just another day if we don't put Jesus where He needs to be. Amen. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to focus on. We can't go back and change anything in 2016. We cannot correct anything from 2016, but we can learn from things in 2016, and we can move ahead in 2017. Can I get a witness? Amen. We don't have to live in the past. In fact, if you're living in the past, you're not moving where God wants you to go. If you're living in the past, if you're stuck in the past, if you're in this doldrum of, I can't get past this, Lord, I just can't, I'm stuck here, I'm suffering. Guys, God's got something better for us. He never wants you to stay in the past. He wants you to learn from the past. He wants you to move forward from your past, but He never wants us to stay there. So it's my prayer that you guys are going to move forward, get out of your past, get out of 2016, and let's move ahead and see what God's got in store for us. Is that fair enough for everybody? Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. And that's something else I want to encourage everybody to do in this new year. We have Bibles in our pews, certainly if you forget to bring yours one day or whatever. But I want to encourage you to bring God's Word with you to church. If you need a Bible, we'll help you get in contact with one. Because you need to be taking that Word out, and you need to be following up in that Word each and every day in this new year. Because guys, I'm going to tell you what, this will tell you exactly how you should be living. It will tell you what to do, what not to do, what you ought to do. And it'll prepare you for everything that you need to know in this life. Now, that's not going to make it any easier sometimes when these things happen, but I can tell you this, you'll find great comfort in God's Word. So I want to encourage you to read it every day in this new year. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Those of you who can, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read a few verses beginning with verse 13. Beginning with verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your Word. Lord, let nothing that I say in these next few minutes be about me or from me. Let it all be about you and from you, Lord, as we glorify you and honor you as we move into this new year, Father. Just let your Holy Spirit descend on this congregation. Lord, I pray you'll open up hearts and minds and attitudes to your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, I believe in verse 13, now some of you, depending on what translation you have, you will see the word self-control in that verse. How many of you see the word self-control in that verse in the translation you have in verse 13? Anybody see self-control? Okay. That's what I want to focus on, because I want to give you three things here. And in just a minute, we're going to pull out that sheet that's got the skeleton notes on there, and you can start taking down some stuff. But I want to kind of give you a little intro. First of all, there's several things that I believe we've got to do in order for this to be a great 2017. And the first thing is this. We have got to learn to exercise self-control. We got to learn to exercise self-control. We should prepare our minds for action and exercise self-control. You say, well, preacher, what do we need to control? Well, you name it. We need to control it. Amen. I'm just going to give you a few things here. We need to exhibit self-control in our thoughts. Guys, too many of us, not just, when I say guys, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. That's girls and guys, right? Okay, that's just a generic form for everybody. So if I say guys, I'm talking about everybody. Does that make sense? Okay, well, we'll move on anyway, amen? All right, so anyhow, when I say that, I'm talking about everybody, the congregation as a whole, okay? So here's the thing. Here's the thing. We got to learn to control our thoughts. There are too many times when we sit by and idly think of things that we ought not be thinking about, right? Those ungodly things, those moments. You know when it's worse for me is when I first wake up in the morning. That's when the devil likes to try to attack me, because when I get good and awake, he knows he can't break through that barrier. Not real easy anyway. So guys, we got to control our thoughts. We can't be thinking evil things about people. We can't be thinking terrible things in our mind that involve all kind of ungodly things. We've got to get control of our mind. Because when you got control of your mind, you can focus on where God wants you to be. Amen? But until you get control of your mind, then the devil has got a true playground that he can work with. And I want you to understand that. There's an old saying. How many of you, this will date most of you in here. How many of you have heard of the old saying, an idle mind is a playground of the devil? How many of you have heard that expression? Y'all ain't heard that? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what it means, amen. It means that when you just sit by idly and let thoughts race through your mind, the devil can manipulate those thoughts and can tempt you to think about things you ought not think about. So we got to stay focused, guys. We need self-control in our speech. There's too many people saying too many things that are ungodly things out in this world in which we live. We talk about people. We're sarcastic about things. We use profanity when we're outside the walls of the church. Guys, that should not be. If we want to be better people in 2017 than we were in 2016, we've got to have self-control over our speech. We got to be saying nicer things. We got to say more loving things to each other. We cannot continue to beat each other up with our speech. We got to get control of it. We got to get self-control in our relationships. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to move in 2017 where Jesus wants you to be, some of you have got to get rid of some of the people you are hanging around. Amen? You have got to just say, look, these people are not who I need to be hanging around with. That doesn't mean that you just ignore them and you just say, well, you know, you're unclean and you're filthy. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is, guys, light and dark. I preached on that for a lot of Sundays. And some of you, I think, got the picture about that. And some of you started cleaning up who you hung around with. But now some of you still dragging a few of those relationships with you into 2017. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. That's not being ugly. That's being what? That's being godly and responsible, right? and serving Jesus the way he wants you to serve him. Now, we're supposed to witness to them. We certainly don't want to just cast them out from around us and just forget about them. We want to lead them to the Lord. But guys, I'm going to tell you what. I've said this before. If you hang around with those kind of people, they're going to conform you to their way more often than you will conform them to your way. So you got to think about that. We got to have control of our relationships. We got to have self-control in our actions. There's another saying, and hopefully more of you have heard this saying, actions speak louder than words. How many of you have heard that? Amen? Guys, what you do and what people see you do will speak more about you than anything else that you could say about yourself or someone else could say about you. I'm going to tell you this. I've said this before. You have one opportunity in your life to make a first impression on someone. If you're out there in this world and you're having a bad day and you just have a meltdown and you lose it in front of those people that you're in front of at that point in time, they may think of you as that person for the rest of their life. That's sad, isn't it? Because we all have bad days, right? Oh, Lord, I'm glad some of y'all aren't around me when I have a meltdown. You'd think, my God, why did we hire that preacher? You know, but guys, hey, I'm human too. I let my emotions get the best of me sometimes. But I want to say this. When we're out there in that world, we've got to have self-control. We've got to be thinking one step ahead. We've got to control our actions because if we're not careful, that's who people are going to label us as being for the rest of their life. I know people right now that still hold grudges against people because of something silly that they had done to them years ago. Because that one person just slipped up. They were having a bad day. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. We don't do a whole lot to make that situation better. Here's what you need to do if that happens. I want everybody to listen carefully here. Okay? If that ever happens to you and you're out in public somewhere, it could be school, it could be at work, it could be in the grocery store. Ladies, it could be in the beauty shop, amen? Woo, how many things are talked about there? Y'all wanted me to pass the mic around, amen? But guys, listen, it could be anywhere out there in public. If you slip up and do something that is out of character for who you are in Christ, I want to challenge you to do something in this new year. I want to challenge you to be a grown man or woman in Christ. I don't care if you're 8, 10, 12 years old. You can still be a grown-up in Christ. Amen. I want you to turn around to those people and say, you know what? Guys, I'm sorry I said that because that's not who I really am. I just lost control for a minute. I want to apologize for what I did. Guys, you save your witness right there. You bring your witness back into focus. But if you just keep on ranting and raving and jumping around and acting crazy, then that's how that person's going to think of you the rest of their life. Don't lose it out there. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to be showing Christ-like attitudes in everything that we do. We can't let ourselves get out of control. And then guess what I put last on this list? Control our health. That includes eating habits. Amen. See why I put that last? Can you tell? I don't preach on gluttony around here in case you hadn't noticed that. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. We need to have self-control over ourselves as individuals. There are too many of us who are destroying our minds and bodies by how we handle ourselves as far as health goes. We're eating too much food that God never intended for people to eat. Let me tell you something. God gave us all of these great things here on this earth. Now, I don't know about you. I ain't going home and eating no processed collards today. I'm going to eat some real ones, amen, and some real black-eyed peas. I'm not going out there. I'm not going to McDonald's to eat today and get some of that pink stuff they squirt out of a bottle and they call it chicken nuggets, amen. How many of y'all seen that clip on the internet? You might not eat any more chicken nuggets. They say they're real now. I don't know. But anyhow, guys, we're not taking good care of ourselves. We got to take care of this temple. God has given us this temple. He's given us all these great things on earth that are good, wholesome things. What do? We let our lifestyle get in the way and we start taking shortcuts and eating this and eating that when we ought to be eating healthy. Guys, we got to have control over our eating habits. Now, in verse 14, look at what it says here. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In other words, we can't go back to where we were in 2016. We cannot do that. God's word tells us in this verse that we must live as God's obedient children. We cannot slip back into the old ways of doing things. What am I talking about? We can't ignore reading God's word in this new year. Because a lot of us have just quit reading God's word. Let's be honest. If you're being honest with yourself, you'll have to say, you know what, I don't read the Bible much anymore. I might have started off last year doing good, but this year I'm not doing so good. We got to quit ignoring reading God's word. We cannot ignore our prayer life. There is power in prayer. How do you think God feels when the only time He hears from you is when you need something? How do you think He feels? How would you feel if the only time your family ever came to you was when they needed something? Well, mine does that. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. For the most part, they're pretty good about that. What are you shaking your head for? Amen. But anyhow, I mean, guys, let's be honest here. We need a better prayer life. We need to set some parameters and standards for reading God's word every day in this new year. We cannot ignore assembling together in God's house. You know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves as has become the practice of some. Some people don't see a problem in just staying home on Sunday and just trying to have their own little Bible study at home. Well, that's not the way God intended for it to be. Let me just tell you that. Now, if you're physically unable to come to church, I'm glad that there are services that are on TV that you can watch. But if you're physically able, you need to come. Let me tell you why. Because it helps recharge you and it helps put you in contact with godly people. You can't get that staying outside on your own. We cannot ignore reaching out and helping others. Guys, we got to have more of a helping heart and a loving heart toward others. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater feeling in this world to know that you reached out and did something good for somebody because the Holy Spirit was moving you to do it. There's no greater feeling than that. How many of you have experienced that before? Raise your hand. Guys, I'm telling you what, I believe God, a lot of times the Holy Spirit of God convicts you to reach out and help somebody, and here's what you say. Well, they ought to just go out and get a job. Well, they could be doing this or they could be doing that. Guys, let me tell you something. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you to reach out and help them, it's because He wants you to. Not because of any excuses that you're trying to make up. So do what He's leading you to do. Do what He's leading you to do. We cannot ignore fixing broken relationships. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest reasons why God is not blessing more of you right now is because you have got some broken relationships with people. You're holding bitterness against them. You're holding anger toward them. And until you let it go, God is not going to be able to move through you and channel His blessings through you. You understand that? If you understand that, say amen. Hey, are y'all awake? If you're awake, say amen. Woo, I want to get some people excited here. This is a new year. Now, I know some of you stayed up and violated about half of these things I just read last night, didn't you? Some of you are going, okay, all right then. Hey, it's a new year. We're going to put it past us, amen? Guys, we cannot ignore the opportunities to witness in this new year. How many of you got saved this past year? Raise your hand. Just be bold and raise your hand. Look at these hands up in here. You know why you got saved? First of all, it wasn't anything that a human being did to save you, but a human being had a lot to do to influence you to come to know Jesus, right? Guys, that's what we all need to be doing. We cannot ignore opportunities to witness. There's going to come a time when we're, as born-again believers, seated at the judgment seat of Christ, where I really believe Jesus is going to bring into question why we did not speak to certain people that we came in contact with in our life. What kind of excuse are you going to have then? God ordains moments in time for us to witness to other people. Now, is everybody going to get saved that you witness to? No. But we don't know who is and who isn't. It's our job to do it. And then lastly, I want you to bring out this sheet. If you want to take notes, this is the one I want to focus on right here. If you'll bring out that piece of paper, we're going to take some notes on this last part here. And this last part, I'm going to say, how can we live godly in 2017 in this ungodly world in which we live? Guys, in case you hadn't noticed, we live in an ungodly world, right? This place is messed up. And it's getting worse. It's not going to get better. I've told you that. It's not going to get any better. Guys, let me start off by saying this. We are never off duty spiritually. We are never off duty spiritually. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? In other words, we don't put our spirituality on hold. We don't suddenly just forget about Jesus when we're out there in public or when we're somewhere else. We are never off duty spiritually. We got to stop protecting private sin in our life. We got to stop protecting private sin. Well, preacher, what are you talking about, private sin? All sin, you know, we all sin. Yeah, we do. But some people have what I refer to as private sin in their life. And that's what's keeping you from being all you can be in this new year for Jesus. Guys, let me tell you this. We all have that area of private sin in our lives. That thing that only we know about. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm going to give you some examples. Some of you may have problems with alcohol or drug abuse that no one knows about but yourself. You've kept it so well under wraps, people don't even realize you do it. Some people are addicted to pornography. When they get in the confines of their house by themselves, they get on their computer, they get on their cell phone, and that private sin comes into play for them. There are some people who contemplate having affairs with other people whom they're not married to, but yet you are the married one. So you see, these are private sins that people encounter and that people come in contact with. Guys, I'm telling you what, we've got to stop protecting private sin. Because I'm going to tell you something right here. We all have that area that we have that's private sin, but you can rest assured of this. God knows everything you do, whether it's in public or private. Amen. God knows everything you do when you go in that room at night, when you take that drink at night and you get yourself intoxicated beyond control, when you're sitting there in the quietness of those moments and you're thinking lustful thoughts about someone that you're not married to and all this, that, and the other kind of stuff. Some of us have a private sin of gambling. We're out of control. We're spending our paycheck buying gambling things and all this, that, and the other. We're not taking care of our own families. We're doing this. This is a private area of sin. Guys, you know why I can call all that sin? Because anything that puts God behind it is sin, and it's an idol in our life. We need to get rid of it. We need to reprioritize ourselves. God knows everything that we do, whether it's in public or private. And let me tell you this, whatever is done in private will eventually sink you in public. Whatever is done in private will eventually sink you in public. Let me tell you examples of that. Well, all you got to do is turn on the TV, right? Look at all the political people, all the people that are in the public eye who have been caught doing this, that, and the other. Their private, sinful life became public knowledge. And it ruined them. And it'll do the same for you and I if we continue to allow that to happen. Whatever's done in private will eventually sink you in public. Whatever you leave in darkness will control you. Whatever you leave in darkness will control you. That's why I preach for weeks and weeks about moving into the light. Because when you're in the light, all of that darkness is exposed. But when you keep dragging things from darkness with you, then they're controlling you. And until you let go of them and you say, I'm going to get in the light, Lord, and I'm going to stay in that light, they're going to continue to control you. So, whatever you leave in darkness is going to control you. And guys, I want to encourage you not to do this, because here's what we're so bad about doing. Don't, whatever you do, don't move the boundary lines. Don't move the boundary lines. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, let me just give you an illustration. Here's my life right here. Here's me serving the Lord like I ought to be doing and obeying His word and doing what I ought to be doing. But here's one of those private sin areas that I'm thinking about and I can't get my mind off of. So I take my boundary line that was right here and I stretch it up to here a little bit. So that, okay, I'm doing good on all these, but Lord, I want to inch a little bit closer to the boundary line up here. Guys, don't ever move your boundary line. Because let me tell you what, when you move that boundary line, here's what's going to happen. When you move that boundary line, then you're going to not have problems with doing ungodly things at any other given time if you're not careful. Don't ever move the boundary lines. We have a bad habit of wanting to extend that boundary line between good and evil or bad in our lives. We have got to quit creating a mud hole just in front of that boundary line. You know what I'm talking about there? We've got to quit creating a mud hole in front of that boundary line. Here's our boundary line. What do? We're all up here. We're going back and forth in front of it, creating a mud hole there. You know why? Because we keep wanting to go to it. And eventually we're going to extend it further. And then our life is going to be even more of a mess if we're not careful. Guys, set boundaries for yourself. Amen. How many of you believe in setting boundaries? Say amen. Amen. How many of you believe you ought to stick to them? Say amen. Amen. Guys, you cannot keep moving the boundary lines up. Well, I read my Bible, I pray, I come to church, but I still like to look at porn at night. Well, I read my Bible and I come to church and I pray, but I still like to gamble to the point where it's causing my family trouble. I read my Bible and I pray every night and I come to church, but I'm still thinking about my neighbor's wife who I ought not be thinking about because I'm married too. You see, we keep extending the boundary line. Guys, we cannot continue to create a mud hole in front of that boundary line. We need to pull that boundary line back where it should be in our lives in 2017. Amen. We know where the limits should be. We know where we should set them in our lives, and we should not keep pushing it to the limit. We should not keep pushing it to the limit. Too many believers try to push things to the limit. And guys, I want you to always remember this, point number three here. I want you to remember that there is something better for me in my future. Praise God for that, amen. There is something better for me in my future. God really does keep score. There's something better for me in my future. God really does keep score. He really does. God is going to judge or reward you according to what you do. God is going to judge or reward you according to what you do. Guys, God sees everything. Young people, when you go out on that date, don't think God's not in that car with you. Don't think He's not watching what you're doing. Don't think He's not looking at where your boundary lines have been established. He is. Older people that have the wisdom that some of our younger people don't have just yet, we're doing the same thing. We're thinking that God doesn't see that. God never has His back turned to us. Our parents may, our loved ones may, but God is always focused on us. He's never going to ignore what you're doing in your life. He's never going to ignore it, amen? We got to wake up and we got to realize that. We must live in reverent fear of Him as we enter into this new year. You say, well, preacher, we shouldn't be scared of God, should we? In a sense of reverence, yes, we should. We should be God-fearing people. That means you should not be afraid to come to God and talk to God, but you should be very much afraid of what God can do. And I live with that kind of fear. I don't know about you. When I'm thinking about something that I ought not be thinking about doing, and that thought jumps into my mind, I'm like, whoa, God, I'm sorry about that, because I remember what you did with these people when they did things. You know, God's gotten rid of people before for stuff like that. So yes, we should have kind of a reverent fear of Him as we enter this new year. As believers, we've been born again, but not to a life that will end quickly. Guys, we're going to be here on this earth a little bit. I mean, most of us, if we live all the years God has told us we can live, we're going to be here 70, 80, maybe 90 years. So you see, we've been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. We're going to be here on earth a little bit, but guess what? Our new life will last forever. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? Our new life is going to last forever. Our life's not going to end. Do you realize something? Do you realize if you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you will never die? How about that? Can I get any Baptist to say something about that? Amen. You're never going to die. Yeah, you're physically going to take your last breath here on this earth, but as soon as you take your last breath here, you're going to wake up at the foot of the cross. Amen. You're going to wake up with Jesus. Never, ever, ever to experience anything that you had to experience on this earth again. Now that ought to make you happy right there. So we're going to have a life that's going to last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. Number four, as we enter into 2017, we must never lose sight of what Jesus has done for us. How many of you glad Jesus never gave up on you? Say amen. Woo, I'm glad he didn't give up on me. James, you glad he didn't give up on you? Amen. Amen. Jamie, what about you? Amen. Hey, if Jesus had given up on us, we'd none of us have any hope. Amen. Aren't you glad we serve a Savior who loves us? Jesus has never given up for us, given up on us. Look at what he's done for us. Man, I could just start off and I could name... umpteen. Now that's an old timer saying right there. Umpteen. Anybody ever know what umpteen means? It means a lot. Amen. Means a lot. Umpteen things I could come up with right now of what God's done, what Jesus has done in people's lives in this past year and what he's going to do this year too. Guys, the ransom was not mere gold or silver for that, but it was the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. Do you understand that our Savior bled and died for you and me so that we could live forever? Has that registered with everybody? Because if it hadn't, we need to shake your head up a little bit, okay, where you understand that. It was paid by the precious blood of Christ. God had already chosen Jesus as our ransom long before that world that we live in, this world we live in, began. He'd already chosen him. It's through Christ that we've come to trust in God and have placed our faith and hope in God. We placed our faith and hope in God. If you're a born-again believer, you better be placing your faith and hope in God, because that's all we've got here on this earth, right? We can't control what these crazy people are doing that are in power around here. I mean, we can voice our opinion, and certainly we need to do that. But ultimately, we have to put our faith and hope in God. Because he's the author and sustainer of life. He is the one that we can turn to that's going to help us. Point number five. In 2017, we need to let love reign. And I mean R-E-I-G-N. Amen. It's raining out there right now, okay? But I'm talking about letting love reign in our lives. Letting our life be just full of love. Let love reign in our relationships. We got to show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. We're commanded to love each other deeply. We're commanded to love each other deeply with all our hearts. Look at what verse 22 says here. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently means deeply. Guys, do y'all understand what kind of love that means? That's not talking about I love you. Love you. Love you. That's not showing a deep love. A deep love, yes, you tell people you love them, but they know you love them by what you do for them, by how you act toward them. That is what we've been called to, is that we are called to love each other deeply. That means we're to love our enemies deeply with the love of Christ, even though they may aggravate us and we don't want to be around them. We don't have to hang around them, but we're called to love them deeply with Christ's love. That's hard for us to do as believers, isn't it? That's hard for us to do. And last but not least, point number six here. As we march forward into this new year, we must listen to God. Guys, we don't do enough listening, do we? We do a lot of talking, but we don't do enough listening. Guess what? That's why God gave you two ears and one mouth. He wants you to listen twice as much as he wants you to talk. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. I believe some people got 3 miles in one ear, amen. Let's be honest. Some people talk way more than they listen. But guys, we need to listen to God. We need to do what He says. We need to do what He says. Guys, if you're doing what the Word of God says for you to do, guess what? You're heading in the right direction for 2017. If you've extended your boundary line out, your private sin line out too far, you need to reel it back in 2017. You need to pull it back in where it needs to be. So you see, we need to do what God says. We need to get rid of any and all evil behavior. Guys, let's look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2. I want to read those to you real quick. We're almost done. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. We got to do what God says. We got to get rid of that evil behavior. We got to end the deceit, the hypocrisy, the jealousy. The jealousy, guys, we're too jealous of things. We're too jealous of other people and what they do to us and what they do around us. Oh, they didn't deserve that. I've used this reference before. They shouldn't have got that promotion. I've been there for 10 years. They hadn't been there but 2 years and they got promoted ahead of me. Well, guess what? Maybe they were doing things the godly way, the way God wanted them to do. And God rewarded them with that. You ever thought about that? That's what we got to be thinking about, guys. And all unkind speech. We need to get rid of that. We don't need to be saying bad things to each other. We don't need to be spouting out all kinds of hypocrisy and foul speech and all this kind of stuff. We need to crave pure spiritual milk. We need to crave pure spiritual milk. In other words, we need to crave the Word of God. That pure spiritual milk that we will get fed on. But now let me tell you this. As born-again believers, you don't want to stay on just the milk of the Word forever. You need to get in the meat of the Word eventually. But we need to crave pure spiritual milk initially so that we will grow into a full experience of salvation. And lastly, guys, we must cry out for this nourishment. We must cry out for this nourishment. God, nourish me with Your Word. God, show me how to love like You love. God, show me how to talk like You talk. Lord, show me how to care for people like You care. Because, guys, that's what it's going to take to start this year off on a great note. Since we have now tasted of the Lord's kindness, we ought to want this the rest of this year and the rest of our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's what we need to have, and that's what we ought to want. So, guys, I want to challenge you with something here. I want you to listen to what I'm saying because I don't want this to just be another first day of the year sermon that goes on deaf ears. I want to challenge you to take this paper out next week and read back through it the rest of the week until I give you a new paper next week. If you need to, go back and listen to this sermon again while you're reading the notes. Because guys, I want you to be all you can be for Jesus. Amen. I want you to be all you can be. How many of you want to be all you can be for Jesus? Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to repeat after me this saying, okay? And then we're going to close. I'm going to read it to you once, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it a couple of times. Jesus, I want this to be my year for serving You. Say it with me. Jesus, I want this to be my year for serving You. Say it aloud.
Jesus, I want this to be my year.
Amen. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that what we just said aloud, we mean in our hearts. God, I pray that this truly will be a year in which we put You first and we put serving You first. God, I love each and every person that's in here, but I love them too much to leave them where they are. I love them too much to leave them where they came from out of 2016. And Lord, I know You do too. And I know You want great things for this church. I know You want great things for each and every individual here. God, I pray that You'll, just as Dan came to realize in his life, Lord, he needed you as his Savior. He thought he had you, but he realized as he was getting older that he really didn't have that walk with you, and I'm so thankful that he's gotten that right in his life. And I pray if there's others in here today that need to do that, that they won't keep waiting. Lord, we've got a new chance for great opportunities for serving you, and I pray, God, that we will all do that in this coming year, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? Page 161. Let's stand and sing page 161.